It seemed very appropriate that this scripture reading in the Gospel of Luke should come up on this Sunday when we are planning a potluck lunch downstairs. There's many times in the scripture we see this. Jesus likes to eat. Jesus likes to have fellowship and party. And Jesus does this across a range of backgrounds. And that is something particularly that we see in the Gospel of Luke. So it should not be a surprise that in this week's lectionary reading, Jesus is at a meal. And specifically in our text, Jesus is at a meal on the Sabbath at the house of a prominent Pharisee, a member of the religious elite. And we will try to avoid perpetuating an overly negative portrayal of all the Pharisees. For in the preceding chapter, for example, Jesus seems to have been warned by some Pharisees to leave a region in order to keep from being killed. Moreover, as religious leaders devoted to the Torah, Jesus and the Pharisees shared more in common than is often realized. Still, theirs was a tense relationship. Among other things, Jesus regularly challenges their interpretation of the Sabbath. Hence, while Jesus is at the meal, the religious leaders are watching him closely. However, as they are watching Jesus, Jesus begins watching them. That is, he notices the action of the guests at the meal. In other words, Jesus is people watching. He's checking out who is talking to whom, where people are sitting, who is present, and who is absent. As a result, Jesus offers two related teachings. First, in verses 7 to 11, Jesus tells the guests at the meal to pay attention to the seats that they seek. Jesus also notices that people of the meal choose the places of honor. In other words, they are seeking seats of status. In Greco-Roman society, formal meals like this would often take place at a U-shaped table. Each guest would be assigned a seat at the table that demonstrated their rank or social standing, from highest to lowest. It would be deeply shameful to sit at the place of honor, only to be moved to the lowest place. And Jesus tells a parable of a wedding banquet where this kind of behavior is taking place. He challenges the attention and affection of those at the meal. Now, given the celebrity status of our society, we can imagine situations where we might often try to position ourselves in places of status. And I experienced this temptation myself. Recently, I was at a small gathering with a well-known local author. When I walked into the room, I realized there was an open seat next to the writer. Immediately, I was struck by how strong my desire was to sit next to this person. While I could listen, or I could list several reasons, I know that a significant part of why I wanted to sit next to this person is that I thought some of their status might rub off on me. I also wanted this person to hear what I had to say. I wanted that best seat. However, in this parable, Jesus speaks to the perils of pursuing places of honor. And just so you know, I resisted the temptation and moved further on down the line. Rather than seeking position and places of status, Jesus suggests that the religious leaders choose the lowest places. Now, why? Why do you think Jesus would tell them that? And Luke records these challenging words from Jesus. "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's vital to remember the audience in this text. Jesus does not call the marginalized, the poor, the often overlooked servants at the party to humble themselves. Rather, he is speaking to the guests gathered for a meal at the house of a leader of the Pharisees. Most of these folks are likely of a rather high status. So we should be attentive to different ways in which folks might be called to live out humility, given our different positions in the world. Everyone is called to humility, but the path may look different. Moreover, it's important to note that Jesus' words on humility should not be understood as simply good advice or a formula for advancing ourselves socially. That would be missing the point of Luke's broader vision of the subversive order of God's reign, the turned upside down order of things. Jesus isn't offering tips for how to climb the social ladder. Instead, Jesus calls us to live in an entirely different world within this world, a world called the kingdom of God. In the second portion of the lectionary passage, verses 12 to 14, Jesus continues to subvert the norms of his time, directing his words to the organizer of the party, the one who had invited him. Jesus says that when you plan a meal, you ought not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Now, this may sound odd. However, it was a common practice in Greco-Roman society to invite people to parties who could in some way benefit you socially. I mean, so that they might invite you, so that there might be some reciprocation. People expected others to reciprocate or pay back their good deed. So it made sense to invite your friends, family, and of course, rich neighbors to a party. However, Jesus says this is the wrong guest list, or at least the guest list is too narrow. Rather, Jesus says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And this is a list of individuals who would have been socially and religiously excluded in ancient society. Jesus says that these are the kinds of folks we should intentionally embrace. We might consider a time of reflection on who tends to make our guest list. Who do we tend to eat with? Who is invited to our gatherings? And how might the Spirit be prompting us as a community to expand our guest list? We might think about these questions. Who thrives and who doesn't? Whose body matters? Whose history survives? Who gets policed? Who is safe? And who is missing? And we might also consider this invitation to the open table. This is where the illustration comes from. Words on the United Church's website. To mark its 100th anniversary, which officially happened on June 10, 2025, the United Church of Canada launched 100 Tables, a national initiative inviting its communities of faith across the country to transform a picnic table into a site of welcoming that reflects the church's century-long commitment to live out God's call to love and serve. These gatherings are visible signs of a promise to meet people where they are, both spiritually and physically. Rooted in faith and shaped by the unique needs of their communities, these gatherings go beyond simply sharing food or information. They offer interaction, meaningful experiences that address local concerns while celebrating what it means to belong, to have a place at the table. 100 Tables celebrates the United Church of Canada as a space to explore faith and community, casting a bold vision for the future. Each table extends the church's commitment to love, justice, and inclusion, carrying that spirit into the next century. The centenary reminds us, joy is resistance. In the face of fear and injustice, we choose joy, not as an escape, but as a radical act of hope, rooted in the belief that love still reigns. Of course, for Jesus, the goal of expanding our guest list is not to be repaid by others, since we will be ultimately repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus' reference seems to relate to the eschatological banquet, or the feast that will happen in the end times. It is referenced in verses 5 to 24 in a parable, a theme that appeared in the scripture again and again. In short, we can trust the abundance of God. No one who lives in Jesus and his humble ways will miss a seat at the table that matters most. May we live into that promise. Amen.